The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield and 88.1 WSBR Lee with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thanks for tuning in. So today we're talking about the Beckett Arts Center, and my guests today are Jen Beatty, Executive Director of the BAC, and Ken Cheeseman. He is the Board President of the BAC. Thank you both for being here today. And we have a mutual acquaintance, Kate Barton, and she wanted us to connect for such a long time. And I know wherever Kate is right now doing what she's doing, because she's super busy, I hope she's smiling to know that we have connected. And so we have a lot to get into. So let's get started. Thank you both. So, you know, standing atop of a beautiful hill at 7 Brooker Hill Road off Route 8 in Beckett is a charming 2.5 story yellow building. And it was once known as the 1858 Seminary Hall, but today it is known as the Beckett Arts Center. And it's been known as the Beckett Arts Center for close to 50 years. I know there's been some changes in location in the early years, but it's been the home for quite some time. So there's a lot happening at the BAC. Can I call it the BAC?
That's what we do, yeah.
Okay. I just feel like it just sounds more fun calling it the BAC.
Well, the full name is Beckett Arts Center of the Hilltowns, which sometimes I like to say just to make sure that people know we're including a very large region.
Yes. Do talk about that region for what's the footprint? What is the span? When you say the Hilltowns, that could encompass a lot.
Yeah. I mean, my interpretation of it has been that the Hilltowns are often those regions of the Berkshires that get a little bit neglected.
Mm-hmm.
But then it is one of those things of that saying of, if you build it, they will come.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happened is, by really embedding ourselves in that identity of the Hilltowns, people have been intrigued by it. And now we're drawing from wider and wider an area. And we're very happy about that. That's a big part of our push.
Well, I got to say, as someone who currently lives in the Hilltowns, we moved to the Hilltowns when we moved to the Berkshires 15 years ago. I am delighted to know about the BAC because I did not before. But now it's all coming back to me because I have to be honest, I have to make my confession. On my way to Jacob's Pillow, which, you know, it's like a summer thing all the time. And I'm like, did I pass the BAC? I may have. I probably did. And it didn't even dawn on me. So now I'm going to be intentional about stopping and visiting at the BAC. But I always like to take it back a little bit. And if you could, let's take a walk back in time to 1968. And in 1968, that was sort of when the idea of the BAC came to be. And, you know, the 60s was a really turbulent time in our country. There was a lot happening. I think in the Berkshires, there's this feeling of sometimes we are in this sort of idyllic space. And so I don't know how much the turbulence of the time necessarily connected with what was happening in the Berkshires. But I'm curious to know, do you have any recollection of what the people were thinking at the time when they sat around and said, hey, we should do something here and at this time, in at that time period?
Well, I was not here in the 60s, not here in the Berkshires and not on the planet. But what's really great is we do actually have a lot of written records from the people who founded Beckett Art Center back in the late 60s. So my understanding from that time is, I don't know a lot about what was happening in the town and the people who are living here, but I do know that we are already starting to see people moving here as a post-retirement situation. And they moved here because it was beautiful and it was peaceful and it was quiet and there's a lot of nature. And once they got here from wherever they came from, Boston, New York, or areas around there, they saw that there was something that they felt like they could bring with them. So, like the culture and the experiences that they had in their previous lives. And that's really what started the Beckett Art Center. I always say it was that first sort of, grassroots sort of situation. But I don't think that it was born out of people who had been living here for a long time. It was really an idea that people who had moved here from other areas brought with them. And you're right, they had another space that actually was condemned. I mean, it was really kind of a funky space. The horse sheds that were attached to the old church. And but they put together little shows and they put together, more sort of folky shows. They put together, quilting, handcrafts, fine art shows. And they did that because they believed that it was important. And we continue that into this day now is basically going back to those roots and saying, what is it that we can bring to the citizens that are living here, for visitors alike, and connect together in our love of the arts.
I like what you said, Jen, about the fact that they moved to this community. And it's that ethos of how can I give, right? How can I be a giver and not a taker? Because it's so easy to see all the beauty that's here in the Berkshires and just be consumed by it. But the fact that they said this needs a little bit more, I think that is special. And you also mentioned something about having it be for everyone. And I feel like that sort of is in the DNA of the BAC, that concept of accessibility. You see it today. I mean, you just have to go to your website and look and see how you have the different levels of how people can contribute and be a member and support. But there is that feeling of not trying to leave anyone out. And so in that respect, it's honoring the start of the BAC. So these were individuals, these were transplants. These were transplants with an idea. And they said, how can we get it done? And they did. Were they the ones to basically sort of petition the town? Because there was a lot of work too when you guys actually moved into your space that you have today. There was actually a really great deal that I found out that you guys were able to acquire a dollar for an annual to lease. The town allowed the VAC to lease the space that you're in for like a dollar a year for 20 years.
Yes, that's true. But they definitely had a lot of work to do in the space. The building had, been the school until 1938, or one of the schools, and then it wasn't really used as much. And so, from what I understand, yeah, there was a lot of excitement around having a space that was certainly better than the space they were in before. And also a lot of work that had to be done to get the space where it is today.
Ken,
you had some thoughts, I
well,
know.
just in that, for me, I'm of an age where not quite 1968 or so, but 1971 was the first time I came out here. And I do think you're onto something, Roberta, in terms of its origins are of an age. And because I was of that age, I was a kind of hippie kid, and I bicycled out here as a hippie kid for the forests and the woods and everything, and then got, kind of discovered. The next time I came out in 1972, I came out because I wanted to eat at Alice's restaurant, and so I bicycled out here to do that, and then discovered there was this amazing music scene out here that I wasn't aware of, but as a hippie kid who back then, it was all about, it was the early days of the environmental movement. I was I was eligible for the draft. It was the last year that the draft was. And places like this were a retreat for many of us. And I'm thinking of a friend of mine, and maybe he'll listen to this broadcast, Jim Youngerman, who's a great artist, really wonderful artist. And Jim was one of the early people involved. There's pictures of them, old black and white pictures of them fixing up that building. And that building was in really rough shape. And all these artists, these hippie artists, got in there and started fixing it up. And Dave Bacon, another person who's, there in Beckett, he was in on those early days. But it was of a time, and it was an opportunity for people to be somewhere that felt like they were safe in a way. And the forests provided that, and the community of artists provided that sense of safety and inclusion. And like many of the, the arts is a place where oftentimes people who find themselves on the margins, that's where they find their refuge. And I think that's what the collection was. And those origins are really important. And it is something that we talk about with every decision that we make today to still honor that, those beginnings.
Thank you for that. I mean, in full disclosure, Jen, I was not born during that time either. So I do forgive you not having that memory as well. I don't have that memory, but here's why it's so important. I am a big history buff. History is hugely important. It's very, it provides the context. A lot of times the things we see today, there it started somewhere. Things just don't happen, right? And so we know that there's always a thought, and to know that, Ken, you were not a stranger to this area. You knew this area, and so to know that you sort of have that connection is hugely important, because you can provide that good context of what it looked like during that time, right? It speaks to that desire of that human will, right? To see something and to do something. It's interesting, you talked about the then, and I know both of you come to this work from different pathways. I know, Jen, you spent much of your life, a lot of your work is centered around that advocacy, right? And helping people who are underserved. So that, I feel like there's such an alignment with what you're doing with the BAC, because that idea of accessibility and the arts is for everyone. There's perfect synergy there. And then, Ken, your story is kind of interesting because you knew the area, right? So this was the hill towns, and Beckett in particular wasn't a stranger to you. So, but I think you had, as the story goes, because there's the stories out there that you walked into the center. It was during COVID, and you were looking for good internet connection.
That's
And
right.
So do tell, you were looking for that good internet connection. You didn't find it, but you found something more.
Oh, I love that you know that story, Roberta. I don't know how you got that, but that's absolutely right. I was still teaching for a college, for Emerson College, and during the pandemic, we went to online, and I was also teaching people from around the world through Columbia University and the Obama Foundation. And I had all these Zoom classes that I had to do. And I had abysmal internet where I lived, terrible, terrible internet. And so I would be doing a class, and 10 minutes into the class, somebody would say, Mr. Cheeseman, you've been frozen for, for 7 minutes, So it was pretty bad. So I was desperate, and I drove down to the art center, thinking maybe I could rent a space, a studio space, and they must have good internet. Well, they didn't, and met Jen Beatty, and at that time, what's now our very beautiful gift shop, and that was still a bit of a mess. And she said, we don't have any internet, but we need board members.
Oh,
So
wow.
she invited me to participate. And
Did it happen just like that?
it
I mean,
literally
I'm
did.
looking for internet. Here's our gift shop. Join our board.
There was no gift shop then. It was just a dirty
Oh,
little
just the
room.
space.
Yeah, but Jen came in just before that, and that made all the difference.
Yeah.
It was the first time the center had actually hired somebody to be their executive director. And she made that offer. And I'm an improviser. And a big part of being an improviser is to say yes. And not only to say yes, but to say yes and. And so I said yes. And I'd like to help out. And I started to do that. And I have no regrets.
We know the COVID years. Jen, tell me when you first came on. When did you join the BAC?
So I actually started during the summer of 2019 as just a part-time helper. I'd be at the door and welcome people. And at that time, we were only open in the summertime. We were only open June through September because the building didn't have heat. So, when I came on, I wasn't really looking for something going forward, but the opportunity presented itself and the stars aligned. And I became officially executive director January 1st, 2020. So I jumped in head first. We were planning a season. We all know how that went.
It was.
Looking back on things, it was a blessing in just the sense that I had a little bit of space to think about exactly what I would like to see for the future. I also had thought at that time that the board may need some transition time to, adjust to all of these ideas that I had. But in fact, when you're faced with a global pandemic, people are pretty open to trying new things. All of us were in this brand new space, and they, even though Ken wasn't on the board at that time, they were all saying yes and to my ideas because we were all just trying to figure out how we were going to make this work. And, we were not able to open, hence the what Ken found when he came down here. But, we did the best that we could. We had a lot of support from our business sponsors at that time and our members who said, yes, you can keep our donations. Yes, you can keep the things that we've promised to do for this year. We really got to plan and say, well, what does it look like for us going forward? And something that came out of that, which was a big accomplishment, is adding heat and into the building. And so we were able to start the foundation during COVID to do the evaluations with CET and, see where we could get additional insulation and all sorts of energy improvements that the building needed before we could even install heating and air conditioning because there was, some issues in that area. So that was a real blessing, actually, to have that time.
And I can only imagine that because it is such a historic building, you can't just come in and say, okay, we're going to install all of this. There's a series of different reviews and analysis that has to take place to make sure you're not taken away from the integrity of the structure. So I could see how that could be a really intricate process. Jen, when you think about January 1st, 2020, goodness, we all remember where we were at that time. But when you think about the vision that you had then, and fast forward 5 years later, the vision that you have today, tell me a little bit about what were your thoughts coming in and what are they today for the center?
Yeah, I have to say, one of the phrases I always use when people ask me about starting then is endless potential. I mean, I had lived in this community. Now it's been, 21 years that my husband and I have lived here. And, I always felt as an outsider looking at the organization, I wasn't really sure where I fit in terms of, can I go there? Do I have to be a member? So I approached this, from that genuine place of what might somebody else who lives in the community question? I think when you're on the inside of an organization, you have a tendency to think, oh, it's obvious. Of course you can come, So as I was starting, I, really thought about how do we communicate to the community that this place is for everyone. We don't charge admission to come in. We're not a museum. We're an art gallery. We're now also a theater performance space. We are also a music venue. And that the arts are for everyone. So, one of our really primary focuses, and probably some of this had to do also with the pandemic, is providing music outside on our lawn. So that was a way that we were able to involve our community and say, we're going to have some musicians play outside. You can sit far away, you can sit where you need to be, and we're going to enjoy what we can at a safe distance. So I think it was really more about shifting the thoughts that the community might have about the organization and inviting them to participate and including them in all of our experiences.
Thank you for saying that, because sometimes, to your point, when you're entrenched in something, that's all you see. And sometimes something that may be really simple might feel so intimidating to someone
Yes.
on the outside. And they think, to your point, does it cost? Do I have to dress up? Do I have to know the arts? Do I have to know what to say, how to say it? All
Yes.
these things that can serve as barriers, they're not huge things, but if you've never experienced them, they're huge to you. Right.
Yes.
And so I love the fact that you really set about really trying to create, to dispel any particular notion. I'm curious, did you ever hear, because you had been in the community for a little bit, had you heard things that people might have said that they were like, yeah, we have that art center, but I don't really know what it's about, kind of thing? Did you hear those things before?
I didn't at the time. I had young children at, obviously I've always had young children. I have older children, but my younger children, my children when they were younger, participated in some really wonderful summer art programming here. So I definitely felt at that time, I knew that that was a place and that was a value that the center had. I honestly didn't know, and I believe that the majority of my friends that were in town at the time didn't know about the expansive offerings for adults. So I didn't hear things like, oh, it's bad or I can't go. It was just a lack of really awareness about what it was. And so I really did approach it in that same fashion. If I wondered that, and my husband's a poet, he's a writer. If he wondered that and we didn't know that it was for us, that other people might feel that way too.
I love that. Because it's true, right? It's so true. And I think it's the unknown that
Yes.
prevents us sometimes from learning and extending ourselves, because it's unknown. See, now that I know exactly who you are, when I'm on Route 8, I'm just gonna pull over. And I'm going to make sure that you're open now, not pull over when you're closed. You have specific hours of operation. I think it's like Wednesday through Sunday. But I'm so curious, and I have to tell you that when I just started doing a deep dive into all that you offer, can I just tell you how shocked I was at all the things that you have there? Shocked. And I mean, you have everything from yoga to African drumming to readings to you have your exhibitions to even like coming up, you have like the art of whiskey tasting.
Yes.
So I was like, wait one second. What is going on at this center that has so much? Like, you guys are doing the work. And what's even more special is that 2025, for the most part, is booked out. Like, you have a full calendar. I was like, wow, this is impressive. I need to know, when you sit down and you think about, all right, we are booking out or planning the year ahead, however you do it for your planning calendar, what factors go into deciding this is a good fit for the BAC?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think it was a bigger challenge for us probably 2, 3 years ago, where we were saying, you know, we're trying to imagine what people would want. What we did during that time when we were trying to sort of imagine what it is that we could offer is we started an online proposal form so that the community could propose to us either things that they could teach, things that they were interested in. And it really, it's sort of taken off, honestly. I mean, there's more ideas than we have space for in the calendar. So in addition to, you know, the community giving input, coming to us, they're coming to other events and saying, hey, I could teach African drumming. Hey, I could offer this. Hey, would you be interested in this? And honestly, the calendar fills up almost on its own at this point. You know, we know, at least for the summer, for our juried exhibitions, you know, this is a call and it's something that we've been doing for a very long time. But the other programming has really evolved out of, you know, just the community's response to what we're doing and what else they could offer. So, it's actually quite exciting.
Wow, Ken, do tell. I mean, you know, have you and other members of the board contributed ideas to programming as well? And if so, which one is your favorite?
Well, it's funny because it's been, this art center has been around now for 50 something years, 55 years. And, before they had an executive director, the board basically did everything. So we're in this stage where that's the kind of people who are drawn to being on this board. They're actively involved. So we're all members. I'm a performing artist, an actor. And so I've offered improv classes. My wife will be offering a voice class. So, we're deeply embedded in it, and we're also embedded in the community. And I do want to roll back one other thing about adding heat. It sounds like, yes, it's a thing about the building and all that, but what that also did was, rather than it being just those seasons, when the weather's warm, which is when, of course, the size of Beckett, we go from being about 1,900 full-time residents to around 12,000. But those people who are here year-round often had felt, well, it's really a summer thing, and it's not necessarily for the locals. And so that has been a big push. And having heat in the building meant that all winter long we can for things to everybody. And when you live up here on the mountain, October Mountain, we don't want to go off mountain in the middle of the winter. And so the fact that, I can teach an improv class in New York or in Boston, and if I get 12 people, that's a good class. In the middle of the winter, on top of a mountain, I have
Listen,
24 people.
we cannot underestimate the power of heat,
Right.
because when you do not have it, and we are in New England, folks. This is not the time or the place to be in a building with no heat. So, you know, heat, it's one of those things, it's a basic, it's a rubric. You need it. You need it to be able to do all those other things, and it allows for the expansion of the opportunities that you so mentioned, Ken. And I'm still, my mind is marveling off, you said from 1900 residents to 12,000. Wait, what, 12,000? Did you
I
say
think it's
12?
about 12,000 at this point. Yeah.
That's
So we
huge.
jump from one to another. And it is a matter of us, so when you ask what kind of programming excites me, because of the work that I've done, so much of it has been around outreach and reaching communities that are marginalized. When we're working with our schools, we just discovered that 70% of our kids in the elementary school are on the free school lunch program. So you're dealing with an interesting stretch of demographics here, which is that we have people who have seasonal homes, and they want an art center that is hip and exciting, has great visual arts, and we're very fortunate in that that's what we can offer to them. And they want really good quality music, and they want a really good art class or a good yoga class. We can offer that. But at the same time, we want to be able to offer people things where, and I mean, for our improv classes, we do a sliding scale. People pay from nothing. So
Right.
we've had people just walk in, say hello, and throw $50 in the pot and walk out. Just go, this is to cover for anybody that can't pay. So it's that, it's dealing with and hopefully satisfying that full range, which is not easy. That's Jen's big challenge, and we try to help her as a board.
Well, we're gonna take a quick 30-second break, but when we get back, we're gonna get into all of that because again, everything you're saying, Ken, and everything you're saying, Jen, it's dovetailing back to the roots of the BAC. So we're gonna take a quick 30-second break and we'll be right back.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at sandrini.com.
Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. When Taconic High School was demolished, we could have lost this radio station. Instead, PCTV stepped in, built a new studio and transmitter, and gave the station new life. And now it's time to pay that back. Support this station today. Go to WTBRFM.com and click the donate button. You won't be sorry. Pittsfield Community Radio thanks you for your support.
Hi, I'm Leslie Hertzberg, Executive Director of the Berkshire County Historical Society. Spring through fall, we look forward to welcoming you for tours of Herman Melville's historic home, Arrowhead. We offer a wide variety of in-person and virtual programs throughout the year. Visit BerkshireHistory.org for information on programs and to schedule a tour.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, UCPWMA.org/jobs.
Now, streaming live on the web, WTBRFM.com.
Okay, so for my listeners just tuning in, we have today with us Jen Beatty. She is the executive director of the Berkshire Art Center, and we have Ken Cheeseman, who is the board president of the BAC, as they like to be called. And so we were just talking about, right, accessibility and how accessibility actually manifests itself through people being able to come to the BAC and pay as they're able to. We know that, you know, cost sometimes can be a barrier. So I got to tell you, for me, I am acquainted with the art space and in Somerset because I am a trustee with the Norman Rockwell Museum. I've been with the Norman Rockwell Museum for about 2015 as a trustee. And I got to tell you, accessibility is near and dear to my heart because one of the things that drew me to the museum, obviously, for the beautiful work, right, and Norman Rockwell and who he is, who he was, and what he stood for in terms of his art and the messages he conveyed. But another thing is that we have it here in the Berkshires, right? And Not everyone gets to enjoy that. I'm a New York City native, right? We are originally from New York City. And I got to tell you, in New York City, your part of your birthright is you go to the Statue of Liberty, you go to Museum of Natural History, you have field trips, right? These are the things you do. And you, no matter what you do when you leave the city, you always have that in your back pocket. Like, yeah, I was a kid, I did this, I did that, because it's sort of a rite of passage. I love what I'm hearing here, that the fact is that no matter where you are, whether you're in the hill towns or you're further into the city or you're near a town, it doesn't matter who you are or where you're located, you still deserve to have access. And that is key, because we know that that prevents people from enjoying things. So I love that. So people are able to come in and sharing that message of welcominess and all of that. I know you're on IG. I know you're on FB. What are the primary ways that you get the message out about the BAC in today's times?
This is kind of old-fashioned, but our best way that we get our message out is through word of mouth. It's really interesting how many times I encounter somebody and I say I live in Beckett, and they're like, "Oh, I've heard great things about Beckett Art Center." And I'm thinking, how are we reaching these people? Like, what I believe is happening, if I had to guess, is certainly we go through, regular social media channels. We have an email newsletter that people can subscribe to if you go to our website. We do our postcards for our shows and things like that. But what I think is our biggest asset is that somebody comes to one of our programs, comes to our center, and then they leave and they tell everybody what a great experience they had. And if we could package that up in some way and put trackers on people, boy, we would have really unlocked things. But it's working, and it's really exciting because, people will have big events, and sometimes I'll poll people like, "Oh, this is your first time here," and half of the audience maybe hadn't been here before. And but we keep reaching more and more people, I think, by just being who we are, not trying to be anything that we're not.
It makes me think there's a duality that the BAC has in that you're obviously an established art center, but you still have indie cred.
Yes.
So you're still an indie outfit where you're that terrain that people like to say, yeah, I was at the Beckett Art Center. And no one else. No one else knows. And some people actually relish having that sort of experience where they're like, yeah, I was at the Beckett Art Center. Where? Yeah, the Beckett Art Center. So it's really fascinating to know that you've been able to sustain as long as you have, but still maintain this indie status without feeling oversaturated and sort of been there, done that kind of thing. I wanted to ask, that balance between accessibility and daily operations is such a fine one, and how do you walk that line? 'Cause I'm sure it's one that you have to walk with a lot of nuance.
It definitely is. We are, essentially all privately funded. I mean, we do receive grants through Mass Cultural Council and some local foundation grants, but we are not, state or town supported, besides, the lease of the building. We're very fortunate to have the volunteers that we have. Volunteers are crucial to what we do, not only from our board members, but from other volunteers in the community, even just staying late to fold chairs and put them away or, wash tables off. I mean, it's a fine line for sure. It's a very fine line.
It made me think that, knowing that you have sustained for so long, people love you, Right, people love you, and they're you. What you've done right over the years, and those who have come before, Jen, it's like you have picked up the baton of those who have come before, and you're carrying on, the Beckett Art Center. Because I know you said you want to be around for the next 50 years and continue that work, and I'm like, okay, so you want to, run that next leg of the race. The people who have come before, they lay that foundation of creating that love of those who do know that are willing to invest and support and do all those things. So I just think it's really great and that you're sharing how people can stay connected. Is there a particular story that stays with either of you? I want to hear from both of you of someone who they were a first timer and they shared something with you that just you never forgot it.
This has just been on my mind because, I'm starting to show the gallery space for artists that are coming to visit, to exhibit this summer. And we're really fortunate that our previous board, in their infinite wisdom, put a lift in our building. So, as an old historic building, we actually are accessible on the second floor. We have a lift. And something that really stands out to me is we had an artist we showed, I believe it was 3 years ago, and it was her first time showing with us. And she said, "Oh, I'd really like my mom to come to my opening, but she needs an assistive device." And I said, "Oh, well, our gallery is accessible." And she said, "Oh my gosh, really? That's wonderful." So her mother came, and our gallery openings generally run from 2 to 4. And about 4:45, I'm thinking, these people are not leaving. They're having such a good time. And her mother was there and she was connecting with a bunch of people that, she hadn't seen in a long time. And, I thought, oh, thank goodness she was able to be there. And, the artist came back later and just said how meaningful that was to have her mother at her opening. And to me, it was the clearest illustration of what accessibility was. Like, the artist was could have walked up the stairs with her artwork. She could have hosted the most wonderful exhibit, but having her family member there and being able to actually be in that space with her was priceless.
That is. All right, Ken, what what's how can you top that,
He
Ken?
will.
Roberta, this is a conversation we often have, which is that it's those small moments with people that are there in the art center. And my brain is actually rifling through so many moments that are satisfying with people. I mean, one that I've been talking about recently was and again, this is where one of the strengths, and I love that you're picking up on that sense of our identity as being a kind of indie, like we don't want to be there's so many arts organizations in the Berkshires, and we don't want to repeat anybody else's. We want to be the Beckett Art Center of the Hilltowns. That's what we want to be. And the way that that's happening is by us listening to the community. And we have a sizable Jewish community here. And this has been a troubling time for that community. And we were planning our holiday events, and we do a sort of Christmas carol sing-along thing that was on the schedule. And one of our board members went, gee, it'd be great if we did a Hanukkah thing too, because we've never done a Hanukkah thing. So we went, let's do a Hanukkah thing. And we thought, oh, great, what will we do? We'll get a klezmer. So we got a little klezmer band. I decided that I would make latkes because I thought you got to have the smell of latkes when people come in the building as the holiday. So we're doing all of that, and we're thinking if we get a dozen people or 15 people, we'll be happy, it'll be great. Well, about 60 people show up for this. We brought in actors from Shakespeare and Company and, from elsewhere. And they read beautiful pieces, and a rabbi read a beautiful piece. And it was just, It was extraordinary. And we set it up so that it felt like home with sofas and all and the food and everything. It was great. And then as we're leaving, and this is back to our elevator, there was an older couple who had traveled quite far to be at this thing. And I said to them, because he had a walker and, you know, so we were like, let me get you to the elevator. And so we get to the elevator and it's not always user friendly in terms of like which button to press. So I said, I'll ride up and down, you know, I'll ride down with you. And I get on the elevator and this wonderful couple looks at me and they go, this was so great because our kids are everywhere in the world, all over the world now. We never see them at the holidays. And we haven't done Hanukkah in 15 or 20 years. And she said, this felt like home. This felt like home. And I have to say, it was like, what a win. And then sure enough, for the holiday Christmas sing-along, who shows up, they showed up and they were there again. And I was like, oh, this is, I don't know. There's just something of those things. And I mean, I could give you a list of dozens. I just taught a film class for making film thing for teenagers. And, you know, when you say first time at the Art Center, these two girls who were their, you know, their BFFs, you know, and like they got to do the film class together. Watching them leave the Art Center after having made this silly 5-minute movie was just, it's just such a win. So it's in those tiny things. You're absolutely right. It's in those are the small victories and they add up.
The word community is coming to mind. And, you know, community is, you know, how we show up for one another. And that accessibility coupled with community. And I think, Ken, to your point, Jen, to your point about that human desire, right? I think what the BAC is tapping into is that human desire to belong and to find your place and to find what works for you. And so that couple who perhaps didn't have anywhere else to celebrate, but were so grateful to have that celebration at the BAC, in that space, in that moment, you provided community. And Jen, what I'm hearing with that artist who was able to have their mom be there, that was community. Her community was able to show up for her. And I think in these times, you know, our community is so needed and how we show up for one another. And so it's such a delight to know that this jewel exists, like, no doubt, like, I'm literally, you know, when you guys are open, of course, drive by and check it out because I'm not too far from you guys. I'm two towns over and see for myself, for those who have yet to sort of visit and delight themselves in all that the BAC has to offer, walk me through it, you know, because I know I'm going to scout you guys out. But give a little preview for someone who is like, maybe we should put this little indie place on our list. When you pull up, first of all, you know, tell us about the parking situation and then walk us through, you know, the center and what they will see as they enter in.
Sure. So we have a very small parking lot that we share with the Beckett Athenaeum, which is our across the parking lot neighbor. But, you know, it's pretty close to, you know, the door. So certainly no issues there. When we have bigger events, sometimes you have to park a little bit a ways. But, you know, walking, it's all relative. None of it is really that far. It just probably feels further when you're expecting to park in the lot. You know, we have two entrances. You know, we have an accessible entrance and, you know, stairs entrance. And, you know, one of the things that I've always focused for myself and for my staff is to make sure that we greet people as they come in, smile, say, welcome. Have you been here before? Sometimes we already know them, so we don't have to ask them if they've been here before. But it's incredible just even opening that conversation. how many times we learn, oh, I'm looking for a house out here, or I've lived here 20 years and I've never been here. Well, welcome. Let me give you the lay of the land. We only have three rooms in this building, even though it's a big building. So I always tell people you can't get lost. Downstairs, we have our front room, which is our classroom. And we're also using a portion of that for our artisan gift shop. And so that's going to be the first thing that you'll see. And then the second room is a room which we call our art lounge, which is a very small gallery. We can do smaller shows down there, but it's more of a comfortable gallery. There's couches and chairs. There's a piano. There's a guitar. And always children notice this. There's a sign on the piano that says, please do play the piano. Usually the adults will immediately think that it says don't play, but we want people to come in and play that piano. And then from the art lounge, you can either take the lift upstairs or come back out and walk up the stairs. And we have a very, I always say, the most beautiful building room in all of Beckett. It takes people's breath away sometimes when they see it. The upstairs gallery has a stage, which we use for our performances, and the gallery space, which is painted white tin, beautifully lit, surrounding windows all the way around.
Yeah, it's a beautiful building.
It's just, it's stunning. It's really amazing. And that's it. Those are our three rooms. So.
Okay. So, you know, folks, you've heard sort of the lay of the land in terms of, you know, what you can expect when you visit the BAC. So, you know, Jen, please drop all the handles. How can people stay connected to the BAC? Where do you want them following? What's the best way to keep in contact?
Yeah, so certainly, you know, follow us on Facebook, Beckett Arts, Instagram, Beckett Arts. Go to our website, beckettartcenter.org. Sign up for our email newsletter. Come and visit. Pick up a postcard. Pick up a rack card. Anytime you see something that says Beckett Arts Center, you're definitely going to want to be a part of it.
Love it, love it, love it. All right, so we're approaching our lightning round as we are closing out. So this is where I have questions for both of you that are not necessarily connected to the BAC, but just sort of fun, interesting stuff. So let's see, what's the last good book you have read? And then Ken, you have read, what's the last good book?
Oh boy, so I am a huge fan of historical crime writing.
Okay.
So I am a big fan of an author called Kate Winkler Dawson. So it was a book called American Sherlock that she wrote, and I just ate it up. So I would say that is definitely.
Okay. All right. I think Ken is thinking about his.
No, I'm not. I turned my microphone off for a moment because my washing machine started. But, you know, the book that I just finished, and it's going to make sense that I was reading it, and I'm sure everybody who lives in the Berkshires knows this book. It's called North Woods.
Oh, okay.
It's terrific. It's the history of this area. And
okay.
You were saying, Roberta, you're a history person. I love, like, you know,
I
doing a
history.
Deep dive about the
Yes.
history of the Berkshires, the history of Beckett,
yes.
All that kind of stuff. Just I love that. Just
yes. Beckett is rife with history.
Oh.
And even, you know, we pass things all the time, like even the sign for the trail, Lafayette's Trail, right? Right. So like you pass that, you don't think about it until you realize, okay, Lafayette, placement in the history, all of that, like he walked this
yep.
path, right? You know, on foot, and it was darkness, right? Very, very different time. But history is so important. When you're not reading, when you're not immersed in the arts, when you're not, Ken, I know you're also an actor on stage and on television, big fan of Law and Order. I know you've been on that too. what do you like to watch? TV show, series, what's a favorite?
I'm watching Adolescence right now,
okay,
and love, because I taught film and stuff. And I used to do an exercise called a quarter mile improv, where I would have the students walk across the Boston Common, and we would do it seamless with no edits, no cuts. And it's not an easy thing to do. And if you watch that show, in addition to it being just a spectacularly well done show, it's all done with no cuts. And so I've been really digging watching that show. It's just terrific.
Okay. And Jen?
So, and not to scare people, I am still a big fan of crime, but I do, with my not committing crimes, but watching crime dramas. I am, if I have the chance to watch TV with my family, my kids, we're watching the second season of Silo.
Okay.
And we're about halfway through, so no spoilers. So that's a nice little thing for us to do together.
Okay. And the last question, if you had to choose one word to describe you, what would that be?
I would say I'm complicated.
Okay. All right.
First word that came to mind, I'm just going to say it. I'm optimistic.
Okay.
Despite the situation in the world right now, I retain and will not give up hope and optimism.
All right. You had the last word, Ken. Thank you for that. I just want to thank you both for a really great conversation. You really have brought to life the Berkshire Arts Center and why it's such a great place, and why those who started it created such a strong foundation that those like yourselves are able to build upon and keep it going for so long and have it be sort of a jewel in the midst of all that is beautiful out there in the Hilltown. So thank you both for your work and your commitment to keeping this place alive. It needs you. All right, everyone, you have been listening to Backstory with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. I thank you all for joining me today and being my guest. It's been a real pleasure, and have a great day.